Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, it is no secret that the founding fathers of this nation were Christian through and through. I mean, there have been reports lately that try to disprove that. But if you look at the personal letters they wrote, which have survived, and the public letters and the speeches they wrote and gave, they are filled with scripture references. Not scripture references like you hear some people today quote, you know, when they try to quote the Bible to make a point. You know, they're attempting to wow you that they know a scripture or two, so you should vote for them. No, our founders knew the Bible better than any Masters of Theology professor today did. Remember, this was before radio and TV, so many of them would spend the early mornings and the late evenings reading the Bible. Some made a habit of reading the Bible completely through, three or four times a year. They knew the Scriptures. They would lay scriptural references throughout their writings and examples and just plain talk. I mean, some speeches contained as much as 75% scripture references. You never see any politician doing that today. But they didn't have to say, you know, as the Bible says in such and such scriptures. No, the people of that day knew the Bibles also. So when these leaders would simply talk and reference scriptures in their messages, the people knew exactly what they were talking about. Well, it's not like that today. Even lifelong church members don't even know how to find scriptures in the Bible anymore. That's why almost all the churches today have to post the scriptures on the big screen in the sanctuary. You rarely ever hear a preacher say, turn in your Bibles to such and such and read with me, because the people are too biblically illiterate to understand what that means. But these are all signs of the end times as detailed in the Bible. The Bible is very clear about the falling away that's going to take place today. I mean, in the last days, which we are in today. And to help us talk about this situation, to offer the only solution to this problem, is our good friend Tom Donnan. Now, if you've been listening to us in our past interviews, you know as well as I do that we have no clue where the Lord's going to lead this conversation. Praise God. I mean, we just kind of flow with the Spirit when Don's here. Amen. I mean, Tom is... We were talking before we started this recording that, you know, we had some technical issues that we went through. The devil does not like it when Tom and I get together. But praise God, Jesus does. Help me welcome to the program, Tom Donnan. Tom, thanks for coming back on the show today.
Pastor Bob, thank you very much for having me. We always have a lot of fun. And like you said, we never know where this is going to go. We might have our ideas of what the message might be. But then the Holy Spirit puts a thought in our mind and off we go.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's just grab the bull by the horns then, my friend. I'm fired up about our topic today, as you can probably tell. But let's start this right off and talk about complacency in the church today. The book of Daniel talks about this, right?
Oh, you know, that is the thing that is really hard, because I'll tell you what, when I get a message from God that is life-changing, when he shows me something or brings me somewhere to convey a message and I'm actually living the experience, which probably has people just thinking right now with the statement that I gave, you know, it's hard for me to convey that I'm just sleeping in my room and the next thing I know, the Lord brings me somewhere and I know that it's not, usual in this day and age. But then I live this experience and I realize, oh man, we are like in serious trouble. Yeah. And then I try to share the information with the community, you know, church community, the Christian community. And it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe one out of 100 I might be able to share the message with, if that. And so I'm thinking to myself, how in the world do we get us out of this complacency? Because it matters. I'm telling you, it really matters. Our destination is set. If we don't change the course of Christianity, and this complacency is going to kill us.
That's right. Amen. And something that a lot of Americans don't even realize is even a lot of preachers don't want to admit, you know, America is not even listed as one of the influential nations in the end times. How can that be?
That is very, very scary, and I don't understand why it doesn't come up. But I will say, I am encouraged, because down here in Fort Myers, where I've been staying at my friend's condo for the last couple of weeks, Steve and Marlene have been very, very gracious to me. And I attend a church down here. And what happened is that Pastor Betzer of Fort Myers First Assembly started a series on end times prophecy. He called it the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And so it has grabbed him, this subject of grabbing him. You know, you and I have been talking about this on and off for like the last year. Mm-hmm. And we've been wondering, well, where is everybody in this? And now I am starting to see some people really starting to grab a hold of this. My friend Steve is talking to the media the other day about how he is just enthralled with prophecy, and it's as if he can't get enough of it to understand where we're at. His eyes are open. And then in a small group that where I was at in a Baptist church this last Sunday, there's a man in there, and he is really into it. And that is encouraging, because the more that people's eyes are open to the times that we are in, it helps out moving us to a more godly solution, a more godly position.
Yeah, amen. You know, back, as you said, we've been talking about this subject for about a year every time we get together, and most times anyway. And I also reached out to the host of the television program, Christ in Prophecy, and Nathan Jones has been on our program, I think, three times, talking about Bible prophecy in the last days. And that was some of our most downloaded episodes, was talking about Bible prophecy. And then he reached out to me and said Dr. Reagan himself, Dr. David Reagan, would like to be interviewed on our podcast. And so I interviewed him about the end days and Bible prophecy, and the downloads were just tremendous on that one as well, because I think the Holy Spirit is waking people up.
Amen.
That we are living in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last hours of the last days. I mean, the return of Jesus is that close. I mean, the rapture could happen before we end this interview. That's how close we are, you know. Everything's been fulfilled except the literal rapture. There we go, you know. And, you know, it's just the grace of God that is not implementing the rapture right now. Because
I agree.
If you know, we've said this before in some of our interviews, if Jesus came back right now and took all the believers out of here, you know, let's just estimate it at 2 billion people, boom, gone in the blink of an eye. Well, that's 5+ billion people going to hell, and that, you know, those are unacceptable numbers. You know, He wants to give every single person a chance, just a chance to say yes or no. And, you know, we've said before, the statistics say that the average person has to hear the gospel something like 47 or 48 times before they receive. That's the average. Some people do it the first time. Some people refuse their whole life, every opportunity. But the average is 47. And when we're talking today, someone listening to us today, we don't know if this is the first time they've heard the gospel message or the 112th time they've heard the gospel message. We have no idea. We just plant the seed and let the Holy Spirit work on their heart.
That's true. Now, in a men's Bible study that I've been attending, I keep on bringing up the need for being born again. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, you hear that phone in the background?
That's all right.
Ignore it. It'll go away.
Right. That's right. We're recording this live. You know, folks, you think we're in a studio somewhere? No.
Yeah, God is calling people to answer the call.
That's it. You know? That's it.
Yes. So the thing is that I keep on bringing up the need to be born again. And what happens is that without the Holy Spirit, you can't grasp what it is that is going on. And at the last time I brought it up, I thought to myself, they're going to ask me, Tom, how come you bring this up so much? And I was already ready for an answer. When it comes up, I'm going to say, because you haven't gotten it yet.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
In John chapter 3, verse 6, I think it is. It talks about flesh gives first birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. You see, we're born into this world to find our way to a spiritual birth, you know. And I often say that I believe that this is, from my perspective, my opinion, that that's the meaning of life, is that we are given life to find our way into that spiritual birth to become God's children. Mm-hmm. And our destiny is predestined for heaven when we become born again. Yep. And so that's the sharing of the message. And I mean, you can't, you know, you never get tired of sharing that message, because when somebody's eyes are open, their spirit is alive. Oh, they're off and running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. You know, I've started a new series on Sunday morning that the Lord's been working on me for over a year to do it. And I just, you know, Lord, you know, there's so much I could talk about. but he's been on me about doing a verse-by-verse walk through the Bible, kind of like I can't remember, J. Vernon McGee used to do with his Through the Bible, and it took him 5 years to go through the Bible verse by verse. You know, I don't know how long it's going to take us, but finally the prompting of the Holy Spirit was so heavy on me that I said, okay, so I was going to wait till January and I said, okay, I'll start this in January type thing. And I laugh because it's funny the way how God just works. He finally got me to say okay, and I said, okay, I'll start in January. He said, did I tell you to wait till January?
Oh.
So we started a few weeks ago on Sunday morning. And so I go, well, you know, this would make a good podcast series, you know, because it's going to be sequential and we'll do that. But not too many people want to listen to, you know, an hour-long podcast. So what we're doing is splitting it up into three or four segments, you know, 15, maybe 20 minutes tops each segment, and making one podcast out of that. So each week I do my whole hour live, Facebook Live, and do the recording and all that and put it over on YouTube. But then I'm taking that audio and I'm making the podcast. But we are now, and the reason I brought that up is because I talked about what you just said about the purpose of man. What is the purpose of man? I talked about that in the creation week. We went up through day five. We finished day five last week. But the first 1 and 2 days, you know, I said, if God would have said, man be before he formed the earth and the land and the sea, you know, what good would that do? You know, he had everything in place perfect so that he could put his man in there who had run the whole show. And the whole purpose was to demonstrate to all of creation that when given a choice between being with God or being without God, we would choose God. That was the whole purpose, you know?
Definitely. And, I totally agree.
But anyway, we're getting off topic here. Let's talk about the book of Revelation since we're there. You know, in the letter to the Laodiceans, it's described as a lukewarm church. Is that where we're at right now?
Okay. So, you know, one of the favorite chapters in the Bible that I like is Matthew 24. And that gives us an idea of what to look for in the end times. Okay, but then at the chapter 25, what does it start out with? You know, the 10 virgins, right? Okay, so you got 10 virgins that are waiting for the bridegroom to come, and he's late, so they have their lamps, as the scripture goes. And 5 came prepared with extra oil just in case, because they didn't want to miss the opportunity, and 5 didn't. You know, and that's the description of lukewarm right there.
Mm-hmm.
No. And so people aren't prepared. The thing is that you have to be prepared for God to come back, like you said before, this moment, and live that way, because in lukewarmness, you think, okay, it's all far off. Now,
right.
You know, far off can mean, you know, somebody dies today or tomorrow or soon, just like on February 6th of 2006, you know, I had a heart attack and died. I had no idea I was going to end at 5:30. The heart attack started. 6:30, I was dead,
You
know. And how quickly that can come. So we have to live prepared for at any moment Christ's return on two levels, two important levels. One is that life can end in without notice. And also, two, Christ can now return without notice. And we have to be prepared. We have to live the life.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And if you notice those 10 virgins, they all slept. Not one of them stayed awake. You know, and I look at that as, you know, instead of staying, watching, being ready, they all kind of just drifted off. But when the call came, 5 were ready and the other 5 weren't, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, you travel a lot. Have you noticed the differences in the culture that's just off the shores of America? I would say in the Caribbean nations. I mean, you'd think being that close to the blessed nation of the United States that their culture and standard of living would be a lot better than it is. Why do you think the Caribbean islands, for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part, are suffering the way they do?
Well, okay, we could probably have another whole podcast on this topic alone. Being spiritually sensitive, I get an idea of what's going on in respect to the spiritual life of God and the absence of the spiritual life of God. Okay, and so the last couple of years I've been, I love tropical islands. I grew up with my thoughts thinking, oh man, I want to go live on, you know, like Hawaii or, you know, Bora Bora or something like that. You know, and I've always had that in my mind. But now that I'm retired, I've had the ability to be able to travel to some islands right here in the Caribbean. And I was noticing the difference between each island and how they are in the light of God's blessings, you know. And so you can go in there and you can see, are things happening that is a blessing? You know, are people working? Is the community clean? Is there more that's happening as far as business than store closed, storefronts being closed, you know? And so I was just on the island of Bonaire down in the Netherlands, and I was on what they call a trolley ride. Mm-hmm. Now, as the tour guide was explaining it, she was telling us proudly that there were 17 different faiths upon the island, and no one pushes their religion on anybody else. As we're driving by this complete mess, you know, the buildings were really not constructed, you know, a standard that we're not used to. Okay. Right. And there is literally garbage everywhere. No. And I'm thinking, oh, what in the world is going on here? Now I referenced to St. Kitts. I love St. Kitts. When I got to St. Kitts, I'm telling you, people even that didn't know God were saying, I don't know what's with this island, but it feels good just to be there. Mm. And I had gotten off of a boat ride, and there was a car that was in the parking lot, and there was a slogan, big, bold slogan on the back of a minivan window, and it said, don't complain about my overflow. You have no idea of how much I sow.
Amen.
And I thought, amen. I thought, yeah.
Amen.
And then as we're driving, a different tour guide, as we're driving through the island, he was pointing out the churches and the famous people who had been there. And there was a time when the guy who had written Amazing Grace, I think it was Amazing Grace, had visited the island. And he's talking about all these religious highlights. And then we were on a train ride, and they had a quartet that came from car to car singing gospel songs.
Amen. Amen.
And I thought, what in the world is going on? They did everything but come right up and give, you know, an altar call, basically, you know, from every step. And then you go down to, like, Bonaire, where they said all the religions are the same and nobody pushes it on each other. And then the blessings just aren't there. I mean, the place is a mess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was take a look at what happened a couple years ago with the camp in on Wall Street, you know, when they finally left, there was trash everywhere.
Yep.
And then I think about a Right to Life rally in the Washington Mall. And when that was over, all the garbage was stacked up next to the garbage cans. There was nothing on the grass.
Yep.
You know, people that were in there had a different standard, a different consciousness, contributing to the good of everyone rather than the selfishness of discarding stuff without any kind of care of anybody else.
Right.
You know, and so as I travel, I can see these differences that are going on from one place to another. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, we have no idea of how blessed we are here in America.
Yeah,
and the deception that is eroding away that we are a bad nation and how people are buying into it. I think everybody should at least visit one of these nations that is not have the blessings and come back and kiss the ground when they get off the, you know, the plane or the boat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know one thing is for sure. This nation, though, spiritually, is more divided now than at the start of the Civil War. And if someone wants to be honest, and I've heard some commentators say this, we're actually on the verge of another Civil War right now. Will it be a shooting war and all that? We don't know. But it just may happen after the 2020 election if someone in particular is reelected. Of course, this is denied by just about everyone. But just look at the streets in almost every major city in the United States. They're like war zones already, you know? And,
yes.
You know, I mean, if it's getting this bad in the United States and the world, as you just outlined, what's the solution? What responsibility does the people in the pulpits of America have to fight against this tide of lawlessness that's so rampant in this nation right now?
Well, you know, that's a tricky subject, because now what we're going to talk about is God being out of the box. No.
No.
Yeah. And so the last 15 years of my spiritual life, I've had the enormous pleasure of being in God's presence in a variety of different settings. which gives me a perspective to be able to try to explain it. You know, when you get into the spiritual life of God, the spiritual life of the Holy Spirit, I mean, there's no words to be able to explain these things. And so I really struggle to try to help people see the difference between what we're existing in and what happens when God shows up in his presence, because it's totally different. Now, the part about having God out of the box is that when God is free to move, things can get uncomfortable, especially when light shows up. Those that have more darkness in their hearts than light, they become very uncomfortable, and they to make a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, the choice is that, oh, do I want to move in this direction, or is this too much for me to process, and it pushes them out like a plus-plus magnet or a negative-negative magnet, you know, repels mm-hmm. each other. When the light shows up and there's too much darkness, there's a repelling that's going on, and we're seeing it in the streets, like you said, in the streets mm-hmm. of cities in America, where the light would like to see the blessings of God continue, but the darkness is being repelled by that light, and they don't want it. And so we're seeing a struggle between good and evil on a daily basis as we're watching the news take place.
Yeah. I mean, as a good example of that, just think of some videos or something you may have seen on television that, you know, the criminals, when do they usually do most of their activity? At night, cover of darkness. And what happens when, you know, a police helicopter turns the spotlight on? They all scatter, right? Yeah. That light repels the evil back into the darkness. You know, it exposes what's happening in the darkness. You know, and that's one of the main cultural changes that has really happened in the United States is, you know, the liberal progressives want to keep Christianity boxed up within the confines of the church. Well, don't come out here and tell us all about your God and all that. You can pray all you want, just do it in your church. You know, that's they want to keep, as you said, God boxed in, because if someone comes outside of the church and starts sharing the gospel, they feel uncomfortable because their spirit is like, oh, God's here, you know.
Yes. Well, I got a really good story about sometimes it's all about risk. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, you can feel the tug on God's heart, and there's a risk involved. But it's carrying through on that risk that we see the provisions of God flow. And so I've gotten accustomed to try to shake the doors to see if the door would open up. And I need to take it to the next step, whereas even if the door is closed, at least share a scripture, because, you know, there's spiritual life in the Word of God, and so it never falls to the ground void. And I need to take that next step. But I had shaken the door when I was on this hike. You know, when you go on an excursion, they will tell you that it's strenuous, and then you go on it, and it was a piece of cake. But I had signed up for a hike down to what was called Seven Falls in Grenada, and it said strenuous, and believe me, it was strenuous. So what happened is that I started lagging behind. They had a person in the beginning that was the driver of our minivan, and then they had a young woman, she was 38, bringing up the rear. So, you know, I start talking about church. I says, hey, do you go to church? And she says, well, I haven't gone to church in a while. I said, well, when you did go to church, what did you go to? And she said, Pentecostal. And I start perking up, right? Okay, so we can talk the talk. And so I started mentioning about traveling with Pastor Phil and seeing people healed. She stopped dead in her tracks, and she lifts up both arms, and she says, I got goose pimples, and the hair is sticking straight out. And, you know, she says, I feel the presence of God. Well, right there, you know, amen. Out in the middle of this path, in the middle of Grenada, God shows up to confirm to her that something different is going about to take place, and that God is still active in her life, because what happens is that she's got a sick girl that has some kind of illness that they can't cure on the island, but it's not life-threatening, but it is one of those illnesses that will continue to linger and move on. And so without getting to a place where there was better medical facilities, the child's been having to live with it. So when we finally got down to the waterfall, there was a bamboo bench that was down there. And, okay, everybody's looking at the waterfall. They got our backs to us. I walk over there, sit down, and I says, okay, would you like to pray? And she said, yes. And amen. So that was the opportunity to be able to invite God into the circumstance to bring healing. Now, am I going to know if it ever happened? No, because I don't have any contact with this girl. But at the same time, I know that God was in the midst, because he confirmed to her on one level, I am here for this subject.
Yeah.
And two is that I haven't abandoned you or forgotten you, you know, and I'm
That's
hoping
right.
that it's going to draw her back to church where the good stuff can happen, because in that atmosphere of God, all kinds of wonderful things take place within our souls and our bodies and our minds that doesn't take place when you're not in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's episode where I've been interviewing our good friend Tom Donnan. You know, every time Tom comes on, we're just so led by the Holy Spirit. We may have a topic that we intend to discuss, but we would never really know where the Holy Spirit's going to lead on this. And today was one of those examples. Praise the Lord. But the point we wanted to emphasize is God is still moving in the lives of men. God's presence is what makes a difference in people's lives. And that's what we need to share. The presence of God is in whatever situation you're in. You just got to let Him take over and start trusting Him. Amen. Join us tomorrow as we continue our discussion with Tom, because this, we're just really getting into the meat of this topic right now, which is, you know, the complacency and deception that's in churches today. And you're going to hear more about this tomorrow. You're going to get some great examples. But have hope, folks, because this is a sign of the times that Jesus is coming back. Till tomorrow, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.